All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Premiership action. Celtic are out to build on their lead at the top when they welcome Hibs to Glasgow. Philippe Clement's beaten Hearts at Ibrox and Hampden. Now he's off to Tynecastle for the first time. Aberdeen, Kilmarnock and St Johnstone, St Mirren make up the Wednesday card. That's after another grim night for Motherwell, losing 3-0 at Ross County. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you've got Cammy Bell and Charlie Mulgrew. You two have signed up for an easy shift. No shortage of talking points. Four big games, a big one to look back on last night, right in the midst of this busy fixture schedule as well.
Yeah, one that you won't want to look back on, Gordon, last night. Disappointing for Motherwell. Rangers have got a tough trip to Tynecastle tonight. Hearts, four wins in a row, looking to try and make it five. It's going to be a difficult game, but one that Rangers absolutely need to win. They need the 3 points.
Did you like this period? Games thick and fast. Don't bother with training. Just fire straight through them.
It's a tough, tough period. This is where your pre-season kicks in and all your preparation. So games coming quick, no much rest. And yeah, I think that's the best way to get a lot of fixtures done this time of year. And the only issue is around about Christmas where you need to play games, but you get used to it.
0141-951-1025. A huge night of Premiership action. Like the guys have said, the fixtures do come thick and fast. It's every few days at the moment. It really can go a long way to defining whether it is a good or a bad season. So please do pick up the phone. You know, we always like to hear from you if you're on your way to the game. That's what this show is about on a midweek card like this. I would imagine, particularly in this city, most people obviously would be heading to Celtic Park. So pick up the phone. What are you thinking, Celtic fans? What would you like to see tonight? I take it it's a case of looking for the end performance from the weekend, from the beginning this time. Any team suggestions? Everybody says it got better when Mikey Johnson and O came on at the weekend. So have they done enough to earn a start? Would you start O? Does that mean him and Kyogo? Does it mean him instead of Kyogo? What should your team look like tonight? Do pick up the phone and let us know. Rangers fans heading through to Tynecastle, what are you thinking? Philippe Clement had a good old look at Hearts. Hearts ran Rangers close at Ibrox. There was a certain shirt pull and penalty which we clearly didn't talk about much on this show, because we don't dwell on refereeing decisions here. Then the game at Hampden, bit more in Rangers' favour. What does the Tynecastle factor do? Everyone talks about the atmosphere, how intense it is. Is it that different? Is it going to make an impact on the game tonight? Again, who would you play? Who would you not play? We can look at the other fixtures. There was a disastrous night for Scotland women against England last night as well. And you Motherwell fans, come on, all in this together. Phone us, let us know just how bad it was, how bad the overall situation is, and what you would do about it. 0141-951-1025. Whilst you get your calls in, and please do call us right now, let's set the scene. We'll go to Celtic first, kick off a whole 15 minutes earlier than Rangers. Roger Hanna is at Celtic Park.
Yeah, Gordon, and the important thing for Celtic's players is they return here after two away games. It's quite simple. Don't make Brendan Rodgers angry again. The Hibs manager revealed he's never been as furious as he was at half-time at Perth on Sunday. The message got across. Celtic retrieved that 1-0 deficit, escaped with a 3-1 win, and maintained an 8-point lead over Rangers at the top. And now it's Hibs here this evening, a side which held Celtic to a 0-0 draw at Easter Road back in October. Celtic unbeaten in 16 Premiership games, stretching back to the end of last season. But that last defeat was a 4-2 reverse at Easter Road in May, when it all went wrong for Ange Postecoglou. Dyson Maeda sent off. Alejandro Bernabe scored an own goal. And Scott Bain had a night to forget and a rare start in goal. Interesting, as you say, to see the team news. It will be Joe Hart in goal, we're certain, despite that early mistake. He more than made up for it with that late save at Perth at the weekend. But will Mikey Johnson or Oh Hyun-gyu get a start here this today? Celtic linked, of course, with Bojan Majovski of Aberdeen in the January transfer window, so Oh maybe feels he's got a point to prove in this packed December fixture schedule. As for Hibs, they arrive off the back of three straight wins in the Premiership. It's the best run of the Nick Montgomery era. It's the best run for 9 months in the league. It's lifted them to fifth, just a point behind St Mirren, and two adrift of rivals Hearts in third place. They've been linked today with Adelaide United striker Moussa Touré as the eye January transfer targets. For now, though, they'll rely on the likes of Martin Boyle to trouble the Celtic defence. And at the other end, they've got the in-form former Celtic keeper David Marshall, fresh from that penalty save from Majovski in the win over Aberdeen on Sunday. Our referee tonight is John Beaton. The VAR is Gavin Duncan. Celtic Park is tranquil. It's silent. It's ready for a big game. I think by quarter to eight, it will be a lot louder than this, Gordon.
Yeah, thank you to Roger Hannah. I must say, he can't see it, but for everyone watching on the live stream, they've stitched you up with the picture they're using of you, Roger Hannah. I know you don't go to many midweek games, so your picture doesn't tend to appear on there, and they've done you in.
I expect nothing less. There have been some rather dodgy photographs of a few of us bouncing around in the ether today, I think, Gordon, haven't I?
Especially in tonight of all nights, have you two ever done the show together?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think the live streams ever looked so good. DL and Wilson are going to be phoning in sick tomorrow, trying to see the standards that Mulgrew and Bell have set in here, let me tell you. Let's go to Tynecastle in just a second. A reminder, Celtic fans, give us a call right now. You're on your way to the game. Would you play O? Would you not? Would you play Mikey Johnson? Would you not? What are you expecting tonight? Pick up the phone right now if you can. You have the late shift, Andrew McLean at Tynecastle.
Yeah, slightly concerned at what photo you're using of me as well, but what I can't see.
That's a good one.
I always enjoy a game under the lights at Tynecastle. This one has all the elements as well for it to be exciting, I reckon. Four wins in the last four league games for Hearts. As you mentioned, Stephen Naismith voted Manager of the Month for November. Lauren Shankland voted Player of the Month for November. And after that rocky start that they did really have to the campaign, there was a bit of unrest among supporters. That seems to be getting further and further in the distant past as well. They're now up to third, full of confidence. They'll hope that it's third time lucky, though, against Philip Clement. Just his 11th game in charge of Rangers tonight, but he already has two wins over Hearts. One in the Premiership at Ibrox, one in the League Cup semi-final at Hampden. So we'll see how this one goes tonight. But Rangers haven't really been blowing teams away since that game at Hampden. Draws against Aris Limassol and Aberdeen. There have been wins in there, of course, against Sparta Prague, Livingston and St Mirren, but maybe not the style and the type of win that Philip Clement would have been looking for. It's been steady, but I think he's probably ready to see a big performance from his team tonight. And if they could do it here at Tynecastle, I'm sure it would be very, very pleasing for him. It could be some really interesting team news as well from a Hearts perspective. After his double leg break on Christmas Eve last year, Craig Gordon has been passed fit to return to the Hearts squad. He could also be joined by Craig Halkett, Barry Mackay and Nathaniel Atkinson, who have all been out for quite a long time as well. So it could be looking like a much stronger Hearts side. We'll see if any of those come in from the start. You'd maybe expect it'll probably be a place on the bench for a lot of those. Philip Clement with decisions to make as well. Is Todd Cantwell preferred to Sam Lammers again? Does he play in the number 10 role again? Will Danilo be back in the starting lineup as well in favour of Cyril Dessers? I'll bring you the full team news from Tynecastle when I get it. And as you said, it is an 8 o'clock kickoff here tonight.
Yes, again, same questions to you, Rangers fans. Who would you play? Who would you not? Tom Lawrence was used in the sort of deeper midfield role at the weekend. Is that the type of thing that can happen somewhere like Tynecastle? Or do you think Philippe Clement will revert to a more familiar look in there? And I must admit, I can't remember a more interesting team news area from Edinburgh for a while than Craig Gordon's return. Is he on the bench? Is he not? What does it mean for Xander Clark? Because that's going to have knock-on effects for Scotland, you would imagine, heading into the Euros as well. Let's bring in Martin, who is in Clydebank. How's it going, Martin?
Not too bad, thanks, guys.
What are you thinking then from a Celtic point of view tonight?
I think we've got to see a couple of changes tonight. I think the form in the last couple of weeks has obviously not been great. I think, to be honest, the last couple of weeks, you could actually probably count two hands the amount of times Kyogo's actually touched the ball. I think, not saying he's a bad player, but I think he's been good. We took out the team, gave him a chance. He's going to come in, I think he's going to have a decent job. I think tonight he should definitely get a start. And as well, I'd be 100% throwing Mikey Johnston in as well. I think he was really positive, not just against Johnston, but against Athletic Home did as well. So I think he deserves a chance.
It's a bold shout, Martin. He'll go out the team.
I know, as I say, I'm not saying he's bad. I just think he's been out of form a wee bit, and maybe he's played a lot of games. And I think Ola deserves a chance. Need him on, I think he's going to have a good job.
Can you see it, Charlie?
No, I can't see Keogh going out of the team. Mikey Johnston might get a start. I think that he's somebody that probably deserves his chance after Atletico Madrid and then St Johnston's second half of the weekend. And I think when you come in and you play like that, when the team's not performed, I think you deserve to get a chance the next game. When you're such a threat in the wing, and Yang had such a bad start first half and St Johnston, I'm sure Mikey Johnston will be looking to get a start tonight. And I think if you want players to and a squad to have that drive and competition for places, you need to give people their chance when they've done well. And I think I would definitely start with Mikey Johnston, but I would go Keogh and hopefully get his confidence up, because I don't think he was up to starting yet.
He obviously did make an impact at the weekend,
yep.
Cammy, and you just wonder if it is a case then of finding space for them both in the team. Brendan Rodgers has done it a couple of times in game.
Yep.
You know, where he's played Keogh off, never from the start, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, I can't see him doing that tonight. I think he'll play Keogh. I think I agree he's not been involved as much as we've previously seen him. I don't think he's been involved as much under Brendan Rodgers as he was post-Coglu. We know how influential he was last season, and the way that they played probably suited him a little bit more. The intensity that they continuously played it last season, he was always involved in the game, and I just feel as if he's not quite hit the heights yet. But listen, I firmly believe if he gets one or two goals and gets himself up and running, then he'll get back to the heights that he can get to, because he's a brilliant, brilliant player. I agree with Charlie. I think Mikey Johnston deserves a start. I felt as if he was a real bright spark on Sunday in the game, and it did change the game a little bit for Celtic. They were poor in the first half. Brendan Rodgers identified that and said how angry he was, but they were much better in the second half. But they'll need a big performance tonight, because listen, Hibs are three wins and a bounce and are a decent side as well.
Martin, Brendan Rodgers said at the weekend it was the angriest he's ever been in football, I think, at half time. Do you expect that to give Celtic the kick up the backside and that won't happen again? Or does the first half sort of worry you that might still be in there going into a game like tonight?
No, well, I think it might have worried me if we didn't come out the way we did in the second half. I thought second half we were excellent. As I say, quite rightly, Rodgers was quite rightly angry. I was very poor in the first half. But no, I think second half we kicked on, controlled the game. Hopefully the same tonight. Actually, I'm on the way to the game at the minute. I think it'll be a really good game. So it says Hibs are in form. But I think I think we'll turn it on tonight and hopefully win by a couple of goals.
It just feels like there's a few areas of that team, Charlie, that maybe are up for grabs. You know, if O is going to come in, talking Mikey Johnston instead of Yang, James Forrest came on and scored, and the one constant for weeks now is that third midfielder. If it is three, we know O'Reilly and McGregor are nailed on. Turnbull's a joint top scorer in the league, but he gets left out of big games. He then gets hooked at the weekend. Bernardo's been tried, Holmes been tried, Iwata came on. Have you got a preference out of the three?
I think that definitely Brendan Rodgers hasn't, I think it's clear to see he doesn't know who to play and who's his best player. It's an area they might look to strengthen in January. I think that Turnbull to me looks the biggest goal threat. I think off the ball, potentially not given as much, and it's no natural to him to do the defensive side. But I think when you're at Celtic Park and you're going to have a lot of the ball and you're going to create chances and you're going to have somebody with a goal threat, I think Turnbull's probably the one to start. The only thing is the weekend he doesn't do too well, so it's a bit up in the air. So it's hard to say, but for me, I would have Turnbull. I think out of the three of them, he looks more of a goal threat.
But then maybe that is the thing that actually does change all of a sudden, Cammy. If Keogh and O play, then you know that takes that, well, part of that question away.
Yeah, it does. I don't think he will start with both of them up top. I think he sticks with Keogh up front. I agree with Charlie. If it was up to me and looking at, I would give Turnbull another chance. He is a real goal threat. He scores goals from distance, and that's what you might need tonight. You might face a Hibs side who are going to sit in and try and play a sort of counter attacking game. They've got players that can hurt you on the counter attack with Boyle and his pace. So yeah, I would give Turnbull a little run of games to try and get himself going.
What did you make of Brendan Rodgers and how angry he was at the weekend, Charlie? It's not, you don't really see him like that, do we?
No, we don't. And he said it himself, as angry as he's been. So it was good management. He recognised that's what the team needed, and that must have been exactly what they needed. And maybe it could have been done a few weeks ago, but he's right to have done it at the weekend. I'm not sure how that looked in the changing room and how an angry Brendan Rodgers is, but I know how an angry Neil Lennon was, and it was mad. But it got a reaction at times, and sometimes you need that, especially when you know, and I've said it in the past, if a manager's got that carefree and that man management, you need to know he has that other side, and that other side needs to come naturally. It can't be forced, and it must have done, because the players have felt it when that second half and gave him a reaction. So you need that as a manager. I think you need to be able to step up and demand for your team, and they look for that energy from you, and then I think what you see in the pitch is an energy that comes for the leader. And showing that at half time, which is good to hear.
It's the angriest you've seen.
Oh, Neil Lennon, be a male.
Any game that stands out?
Oh, take your trick.
Just more than one occasion.
Nah, he kicked the sandwiches one time. I've told that a few times, and they just went everywhere. And I'm sure it was Jamesy. There was like a prawn just coming down the side of his face.
Amazing.
And he didn't want to move because he was still in full flow, having drop kicked the tactics board. And we're sitting there just going, oh, no, like, this is just. But we needed it, and if you're humble enough to admit that you were crap, then you deserve it. And the manager showed passion, and I think you need to be able to take that stuff. And we got a couple of reactions. The mad thing with Neil Lennon was we were 3-0 down to Kilmarnock. I don't know if you were there at the time, Cammy.
I was injured, I remember it. Aye, half
and,
time.
And we were expecting that plus more. We were like, oh, we're done. Mm-hmm. We're done. Somebody's getting battered. That's it. Done. And he just calm as anything. Just says, listen, just get an extra goal. And we were like, and he got a reaction that way. So there's different ways to.
But that day was seen as like absolute last chance saloon, wasn't it? So do you think that? Do you think it's the severity of that almost makes?
I think he knew it was that bad. Yeah. That he knew it was that bad. It was like he knew we knew. So it was a management. It was good management to see that we had recognised that we were horrendous. We were lower than a snake's belly. We were so gone at half time. He just said, listen, just get the next goal. We'll take it for there. And they made a cup. I think he brought Jamesy on. Jamesy and Stokes, I remember, in the second half were unbelievable. So, no, I think there's times to be like that, and there's times where you need to go mad. And it was good to hear that Brendan Rodgers did have that side to him.
Don't be offended. I didn't hear anything for the last 2 minutes, because in my head I was thinking, what is the last sandwich filling I'd want to be dripping off my face? Like, what's the worst option there? It might be a prawn. Like egg mayo or something.
Disgusting.
Anyway, on that bombshell, thank you to Martin. What are you lot thinking out there then? Are you agreeing, disagreeing? Martin's, it's a big call. That's what we like. Bold shouts. Martin says, give Kyogo a spell out the team. Do you agree or not? And of course, all the same suggestions in for the game at Tynecastle as well. And we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Cammy Bell are here for huge games in the Premiership tonight. One big one in the Premiership last night. Get your thoughts in on the usual number or on Twitter. Matt is a Rangers fan on the line. How are you, Matt?
I'm a bit worried about tonight, because I was saying to your producer, Rangers need to hold on to Celtic's coattails to the January window. And I think Rangers should bite the bullet with Dessers and Lammers and shunt them out on loan. And I've got a question for Cammy Bell. Cammy, you were at Rangers and you've got a goalkeeping coach and you've got a defensive coach. Have they got a striker coach?
I don't think they do, Matt. Again, it is a good question. Nowadays,
teams don't tend to do that. Do no. We always remember when Celtic were going through their bad spell. Every night on this show, somebody would phone in and say John Kennedy's meant to be the defensive coach or whatever. Just a completely made up title.
No, listen, their coaches in general. But again, when you go down south, they do sometimes have specific coaches. I know Alan Russell, that I used to play with Kilmarnock, was England striker coach for a period.
He was at Aberdeen, last year or something.
So again, and Austin McPhee's a set piece coach. So listen, these things are evolving, and in the future, it possibly might be a position for somebody. But at the moment, they don't.
Why are you asking, Matt? I take it you not think they're clinical enough. There must be something behind your question.
Well, I was the greatest centre forward ever committed to Pollock. 64 goals in a season. I'll go down to Ibrox and show them how to hit that.
Get down there with the Copa on the Alzone.
When I ran a football team, my boy and I played, what I used to say to him, don't be scared to take a shot. If you see the whites of the post, have a dig.
Is that your mantra? You get yourself in there.
I'm telling you.
How many did you score in a season?
64, son.
No 64, way. Did you? What? How many games did you play?
42 in a season.
Did you? Class. 64?
I'll tell you another thing. Aye, because I didn't have a pair of boots that fitted me because I couldn't afford boots. I went for a size 7 to a size 10 with four pairs of socks on, man.
You must have just been getting your toe to them in the last minute there with a big size 10 zone.
Doesn't matter, mate. It was a runaway train hitting a wall when I used to go through a goalkeeper. Brilliant, Matt.
What team did you play for, Matt?
I played with Crookston Castle and Pollock. And I played for one of the best teams in a Sunday, Invergyle. They won every league for the fourth to the first and only that 1 point.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, were you up front?
Were you like Dessers?
Who were you like? What sort of style?
Okay, I was just a battling ram. I wasn't fair to anybody. I used to get booted up and down the park with centre hops like Charlie Mulgrew.
Just charge into them. Love that. Oh, you'd have bullied me, mate. The sounds of that.
This is sensational.
I just loved scoring goals in front of people, man. It was like,
what was your celebration?
Or a wee shimmy you used to do up in the Savoy.
Amazing.
Legend, Matt.
I've got a funny feeling Charlie Mulgrew would quite like to just speak him and Matt for the next.
I'll call you after this, Matt, on the way home.
Matt, do you want Cammy get your CV in for the strikers coach at Ibrox? Is that what they need?
I know, but truthfully, Rangers need to just stay with Celtic after the January window and see what happens.
See, that in itself actually sounds like a very sensible point, because that possibly is a good way of looking at it. If you can make it to that the meeting of the sides without the gap getting any bigger, it would be very much on, wouldn't it?
Definitely. I feel that both of them are kind of stumbling a wee bit, and nobody's really taking charge in terms of when Celtic are dropping points, Rangers are dropping points, and I think you're right, Matt. I think if they can stay there and make signings and get to the games and potentially win the games, and then the signings in January are going to be massive, and anything can happen.
I think as well. I think Matt's right as well. I do believe, and listen, I don't want to be hypercritical of Dessers, but I think he's got 7 games to show what he can do. And if he doesn't do it between now and January, which he's not really done it for me to the standard that Rangers are looking for between now and the start of the season, then they've got to look elsewhere. Mm. They've got to make an investment if they want to try and catch Celtic.
We can't go down that route again. There was Dell in Edinburgh last night. Came on, gave Gordon Deal what for being too critical of Dessers. Oh, he was all over him like a rash. It was much like Matt against the centre halves he used to play against.
How long did you give a player?
A season, he said. Okay. Minimum.
All right, okay.
Thank you, Matt. I really enjoyed that call.
Cheers,
and I mean
Matt.
That. Thank you, Matt, from Pollock on the line. I do wonder, though, because we've got the Celtic team and Martin and Clyde Bank. Do we need to phone him back, Roger Hannah?
You might need to phone Martin back because there are 3 changes to the Celtic team, and dropping out is Kyogo Furuhashi. It means a start up top for Oh Hyun-gyu after his second half performance at Perth at the weekend. There's also a start for Michael Johnson at the expense of Yang Hyun-jun, who drops out of the squad altogether. Gordon, the third change is the third man in midfield. It's always McGregor, it's always O'Reilly, but this time it's not Turnbull. It's not Holm, it's not Bernardo, it is Tomoki Iwata, who came on late in that win against St Johnstone at the weekend. I'll go right through the Celtic team for you. It's Joe Hart in goal, it's a back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter, Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. Midfield 3, Tomoki Iwata, Callum McGregor, the skipper, and Matt O'Reilly. And then up front, Michael Johnson, Oh Hyun-gyu and Lewis Palmer. On the bench, Bain, Phillips, Kyogo, Turnbull, Holm, Tilio, Bernardo, Forrest and Ralston. We're just waiting for confirmation of the Hibernian team here this evening. What I do know is there will be a 300th appearance for Martin Boyle. He is, in fact, the team has just been put down in front of me. I can give you it right now. It's David Marshall, a former Celtic goalkeeper, in goal. Lewis Miller is back from suspension at right back. The centre-halves again, Will Fish, a goal scorer against Aberdeen at the weekend, and Rocky Bashiri. Left back is Lewis Stevenson. In the middle of the park, it's Dylan Levitt and Joe Newell. And then that front four, Martin Boyle, Jair Tavares, Josh Campbell, and up front with them, Eli Ewan is preferred to Dylan Venter. Eli Ewan, of course, scored twice against Celtic in that 4-2 win at Easter Road back in May. The Hibs subs, Wallacott, Hanlon and Venter, Jago, Doidge and Harbottle, Molotnikov, Whittaker and Landers. As I say, a 300th appearance for Hibs tonight for Martin Boyle. 74 goals in that time. He moved from Dundee initially in a swap deal in January 2015. Anyone remember who was on the other end of the swap deal?
Quiz question. What was the club again?
Dundee.
Yeah, it's
Simon Murray.
No, it's Alex Harris.
Oh,
no.
Well done.
Oh, good.
You'll be minus two next week.
No chance. Do you know what? I was about to give Roger Hannah praise. Did you hear that? Did you spot that? That the team sheet just get put in front of him. They're listed just like 1 to 11, and he managed to arrange them into a formation on the spot. Well, honestly, I heard him scrambling about for the last striker, but he got there in the end. He padded his way through it. It was spectacular. Well done to Roger Hanna. And I'll tell you what, we need to phone Martin and Clyde Bank. You two both shot him down. Said you're an idiot, Martin. Kyogo will play. Come on, defend yourself.
Listen. No, again, no.
Interesting team selection.
No, it is a very interesting team selection, and he did have a big impact at the weekend. And again, Brendan Rodgers has shown faith in a player who's made an impact for him, changed the game, got the 3 points, and he's putting the onus on Owen now to go and take the game to Hibs tonight and get his goals and try and get another 3 points.
To be fair, Charlie, you said in theory with Mikey Johnson, but you look at the three of them, Johnson, Iwata, they all come on, they all made a positive impact. Is it important that those players do see that can count, and that, you know, Kyogo's not just going to play every week regardless of who does what?
100%, because when you're at a team like Celtic, you're winning most games, especially domestically. So when there is that drop in form for the team away to St Johnson, or if they get beat a game, you need to know that your opportunity's there, because if you don't, then it's easy to get disheartened, because Celtic could easily go on a 10-game winning streak and you're probably not going to change the team. You're stuck. That's you knowing you're stuck there for however long. So you need to know that when a chance comes. Yeah, when my chance came, we drew at home to Motherwell, I remember, and I went to speak to Neil Lennon that Wednesday. We played the Wednesday. I went to see him on the Thursday, and we played Rangers at Ibrox on the Sunday, and I was in the team. We named the team an hour and a half before the game, and I was in the team, and we won 2-0. And we went on, and I went on and just played every game from then on. So you need to be able to get the chances, and I think it's massive for Mikey Johnson tonight. It's absolutely massive. I think a few fans were on the fence with him. I think probably the manager as well, and everybody was. And I think this is his chance to step up and really put his mark in the team.
See, the pressure of that meeting, knowing that if it goes wrong, you're going to end up with prawn dripping down the side of your face. You've got to back up when you get your chance in the team. Let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan in the East End. How's it going, John?
Oh, good, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad. I believe, although there are changes to the starting 11, it's one of the subs you want to discuss, is that right?
Yes, I feel like Tilio's certainly got a chance tonight after he came on against Motherwell a couple of games ago. I just felt like he should definitely get a chance to see what he can do. I felt like a lot of fans have already written him off, similar with Mikey Johnson. But I feel that he deserves a chance to really show us what he can do. So it would be good to see him come on for Palmer or Johnson at some point in the game.
He's an interesting one, Charlie, because I know he was injured at some point, but not all the time. And I think he was the third. It didn't get the same headlines, understandably, because of the money. But when Mike Navrotsky, Lager Bielka, remember last week Brendan Rodgers basically said quite openly they're fit, but they need to do more. And I think Tilio was one of them as well. It's like, this is why a lot of fans are looking at the summer recruitment and wondering why so few of them are having an impact on the starting 11.
Yeah, but Rodgers, Brendan Rodgers and the coaching staff see these players every day. Yeah. So that's clear as day that they're no good enough to be playing.
That's a worry in its own way though, isn't it? If like so many summer recruits are that far off it.
It is a worry. I mean, it's and I think Celtic have been that good in the last 15 years at signing players and moving them on, and the strategy's been unbelievable, and you can't knock that. But there has been disappointments within that. If you look at Mo Bangura all the way back to when I was there, and you can go through, there's always been a couple. Mm-hmm. But this year it seems to be three and four that are potentially getting bypassed, and likes of Scales is coming through and playing, and that's disappointing. But sometimes it does take time to settle with clubs at Celtic. But if they're not doing it in training, that they must not be, because otherwise they'd be getting more chances.
Yeah, because someone like Tilio Kami, like it's not a big problem. You know, Mikey Johnson's playing tonight, and he deserved his chance and was very good at the weekend. But kind of overall, fans like John and others who phone in envisaged a scenario where if Abada and Maeda were out of the team, that, you know, like Tilio was signed for those types of occasions.
Yeah, again, Charlie's right for me that the manager sees him day in, day out. We've not seen a great deal of him on the pitch yet to make a real judgment call. But the manager's obviously not seen enough in training that he's wanting to put him in as a starting position or obviously bring him on for minutes off the bench. It's really competitive. And what I would say is, I agree with Charlie as well, that in previous years there has been failures in the recruitment. But again, probably this summer we normally see three or four who hit the ground running, and then you almost forget about the maybe one or two that haven't actually worked out. We've not really seen that many this summer that have really hit the ground running.
Because John references the Motherwell game where he came on, but I think Brendan Rodgers admitted that he basically was only in there because other people weren't available. And you know, since then we've not seen much. What about the team that actually does play though, John? No Kyogo tonight. You in favour of that move?
I am, yeah. I think, you know, Kyogo, as much as he's a outstanding player, for whatever reason, he just hasn't been doing it recently. So if you're not, you know, if you're at the level you should be, then whoever's behind you scoring goals, because he has been scoring goals as of late, should be in with a chance. So it's just times like this that remind me of last season when there was a similar point like this with Kyogo, and there was Giakoumakis to come in and replace him, and at that point a lot of fans were shouting for Giakoumakis to replace Kyogo. And we're kind of at a similar point again with Kyogo.
Yeah, Charlie, does it depend on the reason for Kyogo's dip in form though? Because if he is a bit off it, then he can't expect to stay in the team forever. But we also get a lot of Celtic fans who phone in and say, I don't think Brendan Rodgers is using him properly.
If you look at Kyogo and you're completely honest with yourself, Kyogo played loads of games and not have many touches of the ball and scored goals. He could not touch the ball much for half an hour in a game, especially under Ange last year, and then go and score two or three goals. And then he's a hero, and that's what everybody remembers. Oh, he's brilliant today. But actually, if he's not scoring goals, what's he bringing to the game? And he's got a lot of energy. And sometimes when a player's not scoring goals, it's highlighted because it's, oh, well, he's not getting a touch of the ball, and he hardly got a touch of the ball. But his touches under Ange and a lot under Brendan Rodgers, even though more so Brendan Rodgers is coming under the ball a bit as an eight and getting touches. Whereas I think he's best when he's just about offside, or he's always on the shoulder, because I think he comes alive in the 6-yard box. So I think he's a player that's got to be scoring goals to be in the to get the headlines and for people to recognise that he's doing well.
So he's not going to have a brilliant all round game and then not score.
He's not really that type of player. Yeah. He's never been that type of player. Yeah. And I think for Odenite, it's massive. I think he's got to, again, he's like Mikey Johnson. People are questioning him. And if he starts tonight, he's got to have a good game, and Celtic have probably got to get a win, because even if he has a great game and Celtic don't win, they'll be like, oh, it was not the answer. Mm-hmm. I think if he doesn't play tonight, if he doesn't play well tonight and Celtic don't get a victory, I think January will be a time where they'll be looking to get a striker. And I mentioned it earlier, Lorne Shanklin would be somebody that I think would be a great player for Celtic.
Well, I see they've been linked with Bojan Majovski of Aberdeen, so you could get your thoughts in on that, Cammy. But, you know, is there a degree of sympathy if, like I say, some Celtic fans feel Kyogo's not being used properly? Yep. that would sort of suggest, you know, it's not his fault, or is it? You know, like, he's now out of the team.
No, listen, it's a different style, that the way that Brendan Rodgers plays from Ange. I agree with Charlie that I think he's best off the shoulder. His movement's phenomenal. The way that he moves away from defenders and creates space for himself. But yes, he's so influential when he scores goals, and that's what we've known him for since he's joined the club, is him scoring a number of goals, big goals, scores at the right moments. And he's just having a little bit of an off period at the moment. Listen, he might just be a little bit fatigued. There could be a number of reasons why he's not hitting the form that he's hitting at the moment. And Brendan's went with Owen. Charlie's right that, listen, this is his opportunity. Score a goal tonight, get a win, and he can stay in the team.
Thank you very much to John in the East End. Let me, before we go any further, keep your calls coming in, but I need to tell you about this.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Team news from around the grounds is very interesting, but this might be the most important thing you hear all night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You know that at this time of the year, we're trying to make a difference to local children on our doorstep that really need your help. Imagine you could do that and win yourself a brand new BMW 1 Series at the same time. Well, that is the reality. Thanks to Arnold Clark, that brand new car, Cammy Bell, definitely travels the furthest out of all the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits by a mile. He can't enter this, but it would look great flying up and down that M74 as he does. Heated seats, a godsend at this time of year. You can get your Super Scoreboard podcast on Apple CarPlay. It's got all the mod cons you would want, and it really is a win-win situation. You text the word CAR to 84901, C-A-R to 84901. The text costs a standard network rate message and then a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So you're giving a fiver to children right here, right in our communities that need your help, and then you might win the brand new BMW. Like I say, win-win does not even cover it. The lines close at 6pm on Saturday the 16th of December. It's over 18s only, and the full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. If you want involved, and I can't really think of a reason that you wouldn't, text CAR to 84901.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Cammy Bell are here. 0141 951 1025. We are reacting to team news from Celtic Park, and it is interesting. No Kyogo from the start. O plays, Mikey Johnson plays, and Tomoki Iwata plays. Now, these are significant changes, obviously, and guys we've not really seen from the start. Iwata, first start since the Scottish Cup final in June against Inverness. Mikey Johnson's first start since the Raith Rovers Cup tie in February 2022. So some guys getting what they may feel is a long overdue chance. What do you make of that team news? And whilst we're on the subject, what about Tynecastle? Andrew McLean, who's got the nod in that one?
Yeah, well, some interesting changes. We'll start with the home team, and it is a long-awaited return for Nathaniel Atkinson. He's been one of several Hearts players on the sidelines that are ready to return in this game. He's the only one that comes straight into the starting lineup. Big news on the bench as well. Craig Gordon, Craig Halkett and Barry Mackay all fit enough to make the bench for a first time in a long time, especially Craig Gordon. That double leg break, Christmas Eve last year it was, but he is now fit and ready to be in contention. Not quite in the starting lineup though, but he is on the bench. So it's going to be Xander Clark who starts in goal tonight. It's a back three of Stephen Kingsley, Frankie Kent and Kai Rowles. The two wing-backs, Nathaniel Atkinson and Alex Cochran. It'll then be George Grant, Benny Beningame and Calum Neuenhoff up top, Kisuke Tagawa and Lauren Shanklin. The substitutes for Hearts: Gordon, Halkett, Herring, Oda, Forrest, Mackay, Sibbick, Denham and Vargas. A couple of changes for Philip Clement. Interesting ones as well, because Tom Lawrence, you wondered whether he would be kept in that sort of midfield, deeper, slightly deeper midfield role. Well, he has been. He will be playing in there with John Lundstrom. The players that miss out, Borna Barisic drops out of the squad altogether, and Cyril Dessers drops to the bench. Ridvan Yilmaz gets a start Danilo will be playing as the number 9. So Jack Butland in goal, the back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Leon Balogun and Ridvan Yilmaz. It will then be John Lundstrom and Tom Lawrence in midfield. Ross McCausland out on the right, Abdallah Sima out on the left, Todd Cantwell in that number 10 role in behind Danilo. The substitutes, McCrory, Suter, Dessers, Lammers, Cifuentes, Matondo, Sterling, Roof and Davies.
Oh, he teased us in there when he said a long-awaited return. I thought Craig Gordon had gone straight back in. With no disrespect to Nathaniel Atkinson, it was a bit of a letdown. What stands out most from that Rangers team, Cammy?
I'm not surprised Danilo's in for Dessers, to be honest. Barisic, it looks like it must be an injury, I would think, if he's completely dropped out of the full match day squad. Yilmaz straight in there, as you would imagine. Listen, I think I was maybe a wee bit surprised Tom Lawrence is still starting, but give him another opportunity, get him up and running and see what he can do. As I said before, it's the same as Celtic. These guys have got a shirt and they need to show what they can do. It's going to be a tough good night at Tynecastle for the Rangers players tonight, I think.
Philippe Clement looked very set in his ways of two so-called defensive midfielders, though, didn't he? So it's an interesting one that, for a game like this, you know, home to St Mirren is maybe a bit more understandable. Is it a big call that he's gone for it again?
Yeah, listen, I think when you've got a player like Tom Lawrence in there and you can get him on the ball, he's a guy that wants to play the ball forward, want to create them creative passes to create opportunities and get forward a little bit more. So it's maybe just a little bit of a sign of intent that they want to go here and score a few goals. And hopefully Lindstrom will shore up the defence and give them the support they need. But it's a big game for Rangers because Celtic are at home and they can't lose any more ground.
Charlie, you have been there many, many times. We just talk about it, us on the outside talk about how Tynecastle's got this atmosphere. So how does it change the football match? You know, is it a different challenge when you go, or is that something that we actually overplay from the outside?
It's a better atmosphere than a lot of the grounds in SPL, but I always had success there. So from my perspective, looking there, we had a 7-0, a 4-0, a 5-0, a 3-0, I remember. But I remember thinking, this is a tough game coming tonight. It feels tighter because the pitch is so close on you, it's enclosed on you, the fans are quite intense. But we always managed somehow to have good results there and get early goals. So my experience is there. I mean, places like St Johnson, we spoke about it earlier with the skinny post they used to have and the ash before you walked onto the park. There was something about that I didn't enjoy going there. But Tynecastle can be a difficult place and I can understand why, even though my experiences there were always good ones, or mostly good ones.
It's always fixtures like this that you look at, though, and it never works out this way. You know, Celtic drop points at home to Motherwell, at home to St Johnstone. It's, you know, nothing's a given. But how big if we're talking earlier about, you know, Rangers trying to make sure that gap's not bigger, that this is one of like the main fixtures you need to tick off, isn't it? Like Pittodrie came around not that long ago and Rangers did drop points there.
Yeah, so Hearts have won 4 in a row, as we spoke about earlier. But Rangers with that team tells me that they think they're going to have large spells of possession, because that's a team that probably need to have the ball. You don't imagine that Lawrence is going to offer much out of possession in terms of what Lundstrom can. So just to have one kind of defensive minded one in there tells you that they plan to have the ball and probably have a few players behind the lines, which is interesting. Hearts going with a back kind of 3-5. If Rangers have the ball, that'll turn into a 5, and that means that Rangers probably will dominate the game in possession. It'll be interesting to see what Hearts do in possession, if they have any of the ball or if they just play on the break, because with a 3-5-2, I feel that you're often stuck in a 5. It becomes a 5-3-2 because you're as soon as the wingers go high and wide, which the manager's already said the other night, he took Cantwell off and put McCausland on the European game because Cantwell wasn't staying wide. So you'd imagine McCausland will hug the touchline, Seymour will hug the touchline, all of a sudden Hearts are in a back 5. Your 3 players make them into a 5 and that gives you an overload in the midfield, and I think Rangers will probably dominate the ball, dominate the game, and they need to score in that spell. But Hearts have Shankland and they have a threat on the break, and with Mackay and Gordon back in the squad, it'll give the team a lift, massive lift.
Lots to look forward to on the pitch tonight. Let's play a big game of our own.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's 01419511025. If you want to take on Cammy Bell or Charlie Mulgrew, you need to get your call in before 7 o'clock, and Beat the Pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Cammy Bell are here. It's 01419511025, or it is Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch. And please do, it's a huge night in the Premiership. Four big games we're building up. We've given you team news from Celtic Park and Tynecastle. We'll do the rest in the not too distant future. And where are you, Motherwell fans? What is going on there? What would you do about this current situation? How bad is it getting? Let us know. 3-0 defeat up in Dingwall last night. 01419511025. Let's play this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's see who we've got on the line tonight. Oh, I've got bad news for you. It's a team. It's a minibus full of people by the sounds of it. Caitlin, Liam, and there are more, and Nathan, all in the car. How's it going, Caitlin, Liam and Nathan?
Oh no.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Good, good. Don't get stage fright. Is that you, Nathan?
Yeah.
No, I'm here.
Nathan's in the boot.
Caitlin, you gonna be the spokesperson?
Yep.
Good. I like the sound of that. Are you going to the game tonight?
Yeah, we're just on our way.
Brilliant. Are you expecting what's got more chance of happening? A Celtic win or a win for you three on Beat the Pundit?
A win for us.
I think so.
Oh, yous are nailed on tonight. If you don't win this tonight, you'll never win it.
Yeah, there's a bit of daftness in this studio. Let me be quite honest with you here. Said with the nicest way possible. Heads, it is Cammy Bell. Go on then, sorry.
I'm a big fan of Charlie Mulgrew, by the way.
Who's not?
Let's Nathan's been let out of the boot, alright, mate?
heads.
Oh, you're driving, right? Sorry, you sounded a wee bit distant there.
I'll just pull air.
Yeah, please do pull over. Get us in trouble. Heads, it is Cammy Bell. Tails, it is Charlie.
No, it's a jumper.
Stop it, man. Lloyd Christmas over there. Tails, it is Charlie Mulgrew. Caitlin's got a wish.
Let's go for it.
Right, what we're going to do is give Charlie some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. We'll then get 30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready for this, Caitlin?
It's going to be Liam.
Right, Liam, you're the spokesperson, yeah?
I am ready to go.
Good, let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right, Nibor.
Good. Your time starts now. Who's Rangers number 99?
Danilo.
What team stadium is commonly known as The Rock?
Dumbarton.
Who's the current manager of the Scottish women's team?
Pass.
Tony Docherty succeeded which manager at Dundee?
Gary, pass.
In what stadium will Scotland play their first Euro 2024 match?
Munich, Bayern Munich.
Which team is top of Scottish League One?
Hamilton.
Who was the last Brazilian to play for Celtic?
Juninho.
Okay. Let's bring Charlie back. Charlie, can you hear us? Got us? You hear me again?
Yes.
By the way, the rest of the team are deadly quiet. It was just Liam. He's a one-man wrecking ball. I hate to tell you, he's decent.
That is
good. Oh, no.
Come on, Charlie, boy. 30 seconds on Charlie's clock, and the time starts now. Who's Rangers number 99?
Pass.
What team stadium is commonly known as The Rock?
The Barton.
Who's the current manager of the Scottish women's team?
Pass.
Tony Docherty succeeded which manager at Dundee?
Gary Boa.
In what stadium will Scotland play their first Euro 2024
pass.
Match? Which team is top of Scottish League One?
Hamilton.
Who was the last Brazilian to play for Celtic?
Pass.
Gary Naismith won Manager of the Month for League Two, but what team does he manage? Gary Naismith.
Stenhousemuir.
Okay. Liam, have you done enough?
I think so.
Liam's good. Liam is good. But you're all right as well.
It was good.
It was a huge game. What a match.
Liam,
there's one that I know which one you thought you had. And Charlie, you just wimped out of it, didn't you?
I know. Couldn't see
it. I could hear it almost coming out. Anyway, Rangers number 99 is Danilo. 1-0 to Liam, Caitlin, Nathan and whoever else is there. The Rock is Dumbarton.
Yeah.
You both got it. So it's 2-1 to the folks in the car. Pedro Martinez Losa. A 6-0 defeat last night, though, against England. So a few question marks, perhaps.
I knew that as well.
I know, honestly. Well, listen, it's tough when the pressure's on. Liam said, like, he was about to say Gary Bowyer, and he didn't, but Charlie did.
I could see his face, but couldn't get the name for 10 seconds, didn't me?
Equalised. It's a great game, this. So we're level. The Allianz Arena in Munich is Scotland's first game, opening match of the Euros. So Liam goes one in front. The top of League One is Hamilton. You both got it. Liam stays one in front. I'm going to come back to the next one because you got one question more in. Gary Naismith is Stenhouse Muir. So that you're level, but you also, the last Brazilian to play for Celtic, you passed it. Liam said Janinho, and he's done you. He has done you 5-4. Well done, Liam.
I had Raphael Scheid in my head.
I'm glad you pronounced it that way. Honest, Liam, that was superb. And you actually you nearly got Gary Bowyer. I heard it.
I should have got. I had his face. I just couldn't say it.
Honestly, well, listen. I don't.
Well
know,
done, Liam. I knew you'd win tonight.
I don't know how you feel about sharing.
I'm a fancy man, so I feel better now. I should pick the right one.
Hold on, what is this? No one ever phones up and says they want to be that Hugh Keevans is their fancy man. Why is this?
Because he's beans for the tin for his lunch.
Liam, I don't know how you all feel about one third of a signed ball each, but you just need to deal with it. All right. Caitlin, we'll get Charlie to sign it for you. All right.
Oh, thank you.
There we go.
Thanks, Caitlin. Cheers.
Enjoy the game tonight.
Cheers, Nathan.
Honestly. Do you know who'll be raging about that more than anyone? Keevans has passed all that stuff. Gordon DL will be raging. Gordon DL, he's not got fans out there who want to phone in like that.
Good game, that.
That was good. You take that in the chin. Yeah,
I was happy myself there, really happy. He was surprised myself.
And this sounds daft because although he got it wrong, when he nearly got Gary Bowyer, I knew he
would have been nearly. What did he say?
He kind of said, he said like Gary, pass,
and then passed that.
Silly. Anyway, enough. Look at that. He was showing off. He had enough to get that wrong and still beat you. But there we go. Good win for the listeners. We needed that actually. Pundits have been on a bit of a run recently. So although there's a lot of sign balls to give away, it was good to get another victory. Well done to Liam, Nathan and Caitlin. 01419511025. That is the number you need. We're reflecting on team news from tonight. We're looking ahead to the games tonight. And I don't know why I keep asking, because if you want to just leave it unsaid, I could probably get by a happier man. But Motherwell last night, come on, where are you? Where's it going wrong? Do let us No, I'll tell you what, it was a bad night for anyone. Any hypothetical person out there who is a Motherwell fan obviously likes to see Scotland women do well, and it was their birthday. It was a bad night to be that hypothetical person last night. Fell out of football last night, seeing that result from Dingwall. No offence to any Ross County fans.
Did you get anything nice for your birthday?
Listen, you're that age, and who cares? That's okay. Do you know what, actually, genuinely...
Go on.
I got heated socks.
Oh, nice.
Like, just showed that's like how ludicrously old.
Game changer.
And then like that's like my life, isn't it? Like, what can I make? How can I make life easier? Going to football games.
Have you got the heated?
I've got the Gilet already, so I had to branch out.
Great.
Pants for Christmas, hopefully.
Lovely.
Like charging your socks and then stick. I tried them out last night watching the telly as well. I'm a celebrity with heated socks on.
Amazing.
It's a low moment, really, really low, as I ignored the score coming in from Dingwall. Whilst we get more calls lined up, we didn't really get the chance to we reflected on the Rangers team from Tynecastle. Craig Gordon, I mean, you would have been involved, Charlie. That was at Tannadice, was it not?
I was on the bench that day. When him and Fletch went for the ball, it was... I actually thought Fletch was worse off when you were looking at it. But Craigie's just left his leg up there, and it was horrible to see right on Christmas Eve as well, somebody with a young family. So it wasn't nice. He's done brilliant to get back for it. Delighted he's back, and at the age he's at as well, to show that determination speaks volumes of his character.
Yeah, incredible, Cammy. And like we said, that's such an interesting situation, because can Craig Gordon get back in at Hearts, and then straight away, what does that mean for Scotland? Xander Clark, we always hear this stuff, you goalies, you're all very good at it. Say, no, you know, we're all in this together, and we all support each other, and we're really close, and we train together. I've heard it all before. That this is going to test that stuff to the max, surely.
Definitely will. Listen, Craig is a great lad, and so is Xander, but Craig will have that drive that he wants to get back in the team for Hearts. And I'm pretty sure in the back of his mind throughout his whole rehab was that opportunity of getting in the Euro squad. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the next 2 or 3 months, whether Craigie can get in the Hearts squad. If he doesn't, does he have the conversation with Stephen Naismith to go elsewhere to try and play between now and the end of the season?
And does Xander Clark do that? Equally.
Again, yeah. If Craig Gordon gets possibly back in. It's a real difficult one. We've seen it at Arsenal. They've brought in two number ones, and it's very, very difficult to deal with two set out number ones for a manager. I think there's always got to be a number two. And I think what Steve Naismith's going to have on his hands is two number ones. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
With the winter break coming up, do you feel like is there a chance there to properly reassess? I mean, as an example, tonight Craig Gordon's available,
yep,
but he's on the bench, so it's first serve to Xander Clark, if you like. I mean, Hearts will play again in just a couple of days' time, so again, it would probably be quite dramatic if then all of a sudden, you know, at what point do you do it? If you're going to do it, does the winter break feel like a junction?
Yes, it is an opportunity, but again, it puts the pressure on Xander, and it sees how he deals with a goalkeeper who is a number one sitting on the bench, breathing down your neck. Will it bring out the best on him in Xander, or will it put him under too much pressure that he starts to feel that pressure and maybe makes a couple of mistakes? Because listen, see if Xander was to make a few mistakes, the Hearts fans will be calling for Craig Gordon to get back on the pitch. That's just the nature of football at the end of the day, and it's a difficult position as a goalkeeper, because if you make any mistake, it normally ends up in a goal and you get crucified for it. And if you've got a guy of that calibre sitting on the bench, it's really difficult.
I think we'll find a lot out about Xander Clark's character, yep, with Craig Gordon breathing in his neck.
Let's go to Billy, who's on in Clydebank. Actually got a point about goalkeepers, so we can loosely link it in. Billy, take it away.
Hi Gordon, thanks for putting me on the show. I really appreciate it. My point is obviously Hammy. Obviously, Jack Butland just now is number one at Rangers. But I think we're going to have a problem at the end of the season, because both McLaughlin and McCormack are ready to leave.
McCrory.
You know that. Hello?
Yeah, McLaughlin and McCrory, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, McCrory and John are ready to leave at the end of the season. The contracts are up. And I'm just wondering, you know, Rangers looking to get another goalkeeper in, because obviously Jack Butland is tremendous, but I just don't see where the other keepers are coming. And I think McCrory's ready to sign for somebody else, you know.
I must admit, any question is allowed on this show, of course, and we're glad, Billy. It's the earliest anyone's ever worried about who the second choice goalkeeper is going to be for next season. Because Jack Butland's nailed on, isn't it?
I think Billy's worried about the first choice goalkeeper still being at Rangers as well, though.
As in attracting attention.
Aye, listen, I think he's been phenomenal since he's came in, an absolutely brilliant signing during the summer. Again, look at his characteristics and where he's been throughout his career. Also, his goalkeeping ability. He's got everything he needs to be a top Rangers goalkeeper. He's been at big clubs, can handle expectation, can handle the pressure, and he's fantastic and has been. I think Rangers will have a problem keeping a hold of him. I don't think it'll be initially this in the January transfer window, but I can see a big bid coming in for him at one point, because he's been so good for them, and that's just the nature of it. And it's up to the board whether they decide they're going to stick and not take the offer. I think it's got to be a hefty offer if they do, if he was to let go. Robbie McCrory one, yeah, I think Robbie's going to have to move on. He's a good goalkeeper, he needs game time, and it's hampering his own career. I think he needs to make a decision that he has to move on to get the game time. So they're going to be in a position that they will be looking at the market at the moment of who they can bring in to challenge Jack Butland. But again, they'll obviously have a plan in case that big bid does come in and the board decide that they would accept it and Jack was to move on. But hopefully it doesn't go to that.
Andrew McLean sent me a message making a good point. Out warming up on the pitch right now at Tynecastle, just the guys with the gloves on, is Butland, McCrory, McLaughlin, Clark, Gordon and McGovern. Six pretty good goalkeepers all out there.
Incredible, actually.
Yeah, it is. Billy, how pleased have you been with Jack Butland? Do you think there is a chance someone might try and tempt him?
Oh, he's going to. I honestly think that somebody's going to try and tempt him. I mean, I know his record and all the rest of it, and I honestly, he's been brilliant for the Rangers this season, honestly, so far. And I honestly think if somebody's going to come in, and if the money's right, I think Rangers kind of refuse, you know, an outright offer for him. And this is my problem, because I think at the end of the season, both McCrory and McLaughlin's contracts finish. You know, so they're free to go in January.
I'm Charlie. We have spent a lot of time this season talking about the signings that haven't worked at Rangers or Celtic. Take it, Jack Butland's just like one of those obvious ones. Just came in day one, nailed on, been a success.
Brilliant, aye. What a signing. I think he'd have a couple of dodgy moments down south, and that's probably why Rangers managed to get him up that level of goalkeeper. And he's come up, he's settled well, he's thriving at Rangers. And I think for him to leave, it would probably need to be a Premier League team with a big offer. I think Rangers would potentially take the offer if it was enough money, because they would probably have to take it that money. But I don't see it happening. I think he's probably settled. He's at a stage of his career where he thinks he's probably surprised at how big a club Rangers are.
Yep.
Winning titles challenging competing for titles, or trying to compete for titles every year, potentially European football most years. I think he'll be happy. I don't know what age he is, but I reckon with the experience he's had down south, I think that he'll be happy at Rangers. But
because he's done that number two, number three thing in England a lot, hasn't he?
I tell you what speaks volumes of how well Jack Bolton's done is how little we've spoke about Alan.
I'm about
McGregor.
To. Okay, so there we go. I was going to say, you want a sign of how excited fans are? Brian sent me a message. Gordon, can you ask Cammy who's better, Alan McGregor or Jack Bolton? Is it too early? Is it too early for that question?
No, I've still got to go with Alan McGregor at the moment. Listen, Jack Butland's a phenomenal goalkeeper, but if he can do it as long as Alan McGregor done it at the top level, then definitely he would step ahead of him. But as I said just before, that it does speak volumes of how well he's done, because I was really worried during the summer of who was going to replace Alan McGregor, how they were going to find a goalkeeper who would fit in seamlessly into the Rangers setup and what we've been used to with a top class goalkeeper, and he's absolutely done that. He's nailed it.
Any concerns about tonight, Billy, or will Rangers get the job done?
No concerns, honestly. I just think it's going to be a close game, and if we can move with Pedro, I'd be quite happy.
Oh, there we go. Did you say happy with a draw?
Billy, come on.
No, seriously, Hearts are on fire just now, and I just kind of see Rangers up front. I just kind of see Rangers. I've heard the team and all the rest of it. And
surely, as a Rangers fan, you're not accepting
never
a draw.
Never happy with a draw.
As a Rangers fan, I don't want to accept a draw, but
is that where you think the team is at the moment, Billy? You don't think they're good enough to go to Tynecastle and get a victory?
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Billy, thank you very much. 0141 951 1025, and we will take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie McGrew, Cammy Bell, both here, both waiting to take your calls, whether it is on tonight's games, last night's games. And if Cammy Bell was at Hampden for that drubbing, if you want to get your thoughts in there, any fans of the Scotland women's team, we have an eyewitness amongst us, 0141 951 1025. And no Motherwell fans are phoning in yet. Maybe it's one of those like bury your head in the sand type, can't bear to talk about it. It could be one of those. I understand that logic. But if you do feel brave enough and you want to try and suggest where it's going wrong and what should be done about it, pick up that phone, 0141 951 1025. Let me give you a question first though.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Every time this tweeter sends a question in, you know, there's no other way of getting around it. It is Gordon DL's unusually long nose. That's the name of the guy that sends them in.
He loves a question.
He's specifically set up a Twitter account in honour of Gordon DL's unusually long nose. So there we go. Thank you again for the question. You've been getting it tight on social media today. Have you seen it?
I've not seen it yet.
Someone in here has stitched you up quite the thing, because you were, shall we say, struggling with the concept of
the question.
An easy question last week.
But I went straight in and I got the answer right off the back of.
But I was saying to you, just name me an Englishman that plays for Rangers, and you couldn't get James Tavernier.
I know, but in my head, I was thinking they had to be capped, and that's why I say Jack Butland.
But see, if you go on at Clyde SSB, you'll see the video.
I don't want to see it.
That's been made, and you actually see me saying to you, you don't need to have been capped, you just need to be English, and you still don't get it.
But my head had gone.
See, when your head starts to go there, it just unravels, then it's blankness.
It was
the video's good, you should check it out. Because did you and Tavernier close as well, no?
Yeah, yeah. Still speak to him, yeah. So, but listen, my head had went. Don't try and bring that into it.
Anyway, right, your question tonight: who are the last five Australians to play for each Rangers and Celtic? So it's 10 names in total. Who are the last five Australians to play for Celtic and the last five Australians to play for Rangers?
Scott McDonald.
He's not in the last five, unfortunately.
Is he not?
No.
Okay.
Oh. Vidmar.
Not in the last five.
Aaron Moy.
Yes. Okay, not so long ago.
Tom Rogic.
Yep.
Craig Moore for Rangers.
Yes, there we go. There we go. Not bad, right? We can leave it there. If you want to send a question in and have it used, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. So please send your email, send us a tweet to get involved tonight on the phones as well. And in fact, I think we can go to Pittodrie because there's another big game there against Kilmarnock. I believe Dave Galloway is with us. Dave? Oh, he's just disappeared. Technical difficulties. We'll get Dave back. St Johnstone, St Mirren, another big game as well. They all are at this time of year. And St Mirren are maybe right just on that fine balance, Cammy, between it clearly has been a good start to the season, but they probably need to look at maintaining that at some point soon.
Yeah, they've been a little bit of a rocky period, but again, they've had such a fantastic start to the season, and they were flying high for a long period of time, and they'll still be happy where they are overall at the moment. But a big game tonight for them. I think they'll be looking to go up to Perth and try and get the 3 points here. It's going to be a difficult task because St Johnstone have really turned the corner since Craig Levein's came into the club. Looks as if they've got a little bit of, I don't know, a bit of steel about them now. What we're used to St Johnstone being like, hard to beat and going to pick up points. So that'll be a tough and a close game tonight, I think.
Right, I think Dave's back. Dave, can you hear us?
Yes, I can indeed. Thank you, Gordon. Well, Aberdeen may have a cup final coming up in just 11 days' time, but the Premiership campaign has been very poor indeed so far, with just 3 wins from 13 games, leaving them down in 10th place. Barry Robson's taking the mounting pressure and criticism on the chin, and with 5 of the next 6 league games at home, the opportunity is there to climb the table. Kilmarnock, who've signed former Aberdeen winger Gary Mackay-Stephen on a short-term deal, are also somewhat out of sorts, without a victory in the last 3 games, and if they are to maintain hopes of securing a top 6 place this season, they're going to have to do something about that dreadful away record, which has seen them fail to get a league win on the road so far this season. But they deservedly beat the Dons in the side's previous meeting at Rugby Park in October. Looking at the teams then, and Aberdeen make 3 changes tonight. In come Duke, Johnny Hayes and Angus McDonald. Out go Esther Sockler, Jimmy McGarry and Slobodan Rubicic, who has made a number of high-profile mistakes this season, so he's rested, he's on the bench. It's Keller Roos in goals. At the back, Stefan Gartenman, Angus McDonald and Richard Jensen. Wide right, Nicky Devlin. Wide left, Johnny Hayes. In midfield with Jamie McGrath, Leighton Clarkson and Graham Shinney in the central positions. Up top, it's Duke and Boyan Majovski. The subs for Aberdeen: Doohan, Barron, McGarry, Sockler, Morris, Polvara, Duncan, Milne and Rubicic. Kilmarnock, well, they are unchanged. It's Will Dennis in goals at the back, Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dees and Stuart Finlay. At midfield, Danny Armstrong and Corey Ndaba in the wide positions, David Watson, Brad Lyons and Liam Donnelly in central midfield. Up top, it's Marley Watkins helping out Kyle Bassell. The subs for Killie: O'Hara, McKenzie, Kennedy, Sanders, Murray, Davies, Dallas, Polworth and the aforementioned Mackay Stephen. Your match referee tonight at Pittori. Conditions look perfect, pitch is looking great. It's Matthew McDermid and on VAR, Don Robertson.
Forget the pitch and the conditions, Dave Galloway. You are Clyde One Super Scoreboard's food correspondent.
Yes.
And I understand there is a festive treat on offer at Pittodrie this evening.
Yeah, wonderful. The Pittodrie pie of the month currently is the Christmas dinner pie. It's chicken and scurly or oatmeal stuffing to people in the Central Belt, and some very rich gravy all encased in delicious pastry. It's very, very nice.
That was the world's worst M&S advert, wasn't it?
Yeah,
why not turkey in the Christmas pie?
I know, shocking, aye, isn't it? Shocking.
Strange.
There we go, the Pittodrie pie of the month. There's a phrase I never thought we would hear on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks to Dave Galloway. I'm just glad Gordon DL's not here. That phrase would have gone down a whole different road if he had been on the show tonight. You two are clearly much more sensible. But there we go, the chicken instead of turkey, don't understand it. But there we go, Dave Galloway bringing his team news there. As Dave alluded to, it's a weird situation for Aberdeen, isn't it? Like, they've got a cup final, they're through to a cup final, they should be looking forward to it. They've actually, performance wise, actually did pretty well in Europe, and yet the league table does not look good and fans are on Barry Robson's back.
Yeah, it's been a difficult season. A lot for Barry Robson to juggle, but again, they knew they were going into that situation at the start of the season. They knew they were going to be playing in Europe, they knew it was going to be difficult. They've just underperformed in the league. I feel as if there's been a number of games that they should have done better. I covered a Kilmarnock v Aberdeen game and they were terrible that day, the worst I'd probably seen in the league. They were so poor and I was worried for them at that point. Then they got a couple of results, obviously got a result against Rangers up at Pittodrie, a draw. They were decent against Hibs. David Marshall found the goalkeeper in really good form, and David Marshall and didn't pick up any points, but it's vitally important to pick up points tonight because Kilmarnock are so bad away from home as well.
John, I've just figured out, between you two, I think we've got at least half the Premiership covered in terms of teams that you played for. I mean, clearly you amount to more of them. Mm. But I was about to bring Charlie in as a former Aberdeen player. It's just that, you know, the size of the club, though, Charlie, the expectations need more, don't they?
The fans demand you finish third, and you look at league position, it's as simple as that. They want to win cups, they want to be in finals, so they're in a final, and they want to be third in the league. They look at the league table and they're not that, so they're going to let you know about it, that they're intense up there, and it's sometimes you don't know it until you've actually played at the club and you realise the demands at the club. They're a club that have won European trophies, albeit a long time ago, but they demand to be third or up there, right in amongst it. The worrying thing for me, for Aberdeen, is I don't see a clear playing style. I've seen them at Kilmarnock, I've seen them at Celtic Park. You've seen them in Europe having a few good performances, but I don't see a clear way of playing. So if you don't have a clear way of playing and you're not getting results,
it's a bad combination.
I agree with that, actually. Now you say that, I remember that day at Kilmarnock, and I think they asked, like, what is their style of play? And that was the first time I'd seen them all season, and I couldn't tell you. I just watched the game and I was like, I really don't know what they were. They were trying to play out from the back.
In Europe, they sit a bit deeper and try and catch teams on the break, a bit more in Europe, and then they sit and lose six goals.
He's done it at Celtic Park, right? And that's fine, because I think you can go to Celtic Park in Ibrox, right? And I think you have to have some sort of strategy to press, right? But then you can understand teams going and saying, right, well, you might need to be in a shape for spells and you need to be comfortable out of possession. But they were getting free kicks inside their half and literally just kicking it straight back to Celtic. Surely, we all grew up, right, playing football, right? And we wanted to have the ball. What point does that disappear and go, actually, do you know what? Let's just kick it up there and let them have it again, and we'll just sit here and still get beat 6-0. That's frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
I just keep losing count whether it's six or seven teams we've got covered off between you two. But anyway,
I'm three.
Yeah, and you're the other. How many?
I don't know, to be honest.
You ever played for Livy? No.
No.
St Johnson, though?
Yep.
We've got Aberdeen covered. We've got Kelly covered. We've got Hibs, yep. Hearts, Rangers, and Rangers and Celtic. No Hearts. Nah, there we go. Half the league. That's fine. We can cope with that. Alan's a Rangers fan. Alan, what are you thinking about tonight?
I'm thinking it's going to be tough. As I was saying to Chris, I'm just wondering who Clement favours in terms of Cantwell or Lawrence and where he's going to play them. I know Lawrence is supposed to be a forward, but he can play the number 10 role. Cantwell seems to be getting hooked quite a lot, so I don't know even if the manager knows his best 11. And for Cammy, what's your thoughts on the goalkeeper in terms of compared to McGregor?
See, Alan, we actually asked him that, but to be fair, you would have just been getting the call back, so he couldn't quite compare him to McGregor yet. I won't ask him to repeat it just because we're running out of time.
Right, sorry.
No need to apologise at all. Alan makes a good point about the midfield, who he prefers. Well, I mean, they both play tonight.
Yeah.
The weekend was a funny one because, if we're being honest, 44 minutes, Todd Cantwell was really struggling in the game, but he then, you know, gets the kind of fortunate assist for the first one, then really grows, and it's a brilliant pass for the second, and everything's great, and it's vindicated bringing him back, and he plays again tonight.
Yeah, and I think what the manager will be looking for is for him to kick on from that second half performance. He was really good, played with a bit of confidence, as you say. The pass for the second goal was brilliant, but he needs to do more of it. He needs to do it consistently, and that's what the manager will be demanding. Again, you've got, as Alan says, you've got Tom Lawrence there that can play in that position, so it'll be interesting. I know he'll probably play further back tonight, but going forward, if Cantwell isn't doing it, we've seen it, we've already witnessed that he's more than happy to hook players off if they're not doing what they're asked of, or not performing on the night. So it'll be interesting going forward.
Yeah, it feels like right now, Charlie, if you were to predict, say, going to Celtic Park, it doesn't seem likely that Tom Lawrence would play the deeper role. But Nicholas Raskin's injured and Ryan Jack's injured and Cifuentes is struggling. Is it a chance between now and then for Rangers to show that they can actually do it with being a bit more attacking?
I think it's a chance for a perfect chance for they two to play as like number eights. So the sort of same formation as Andrews to play with two more forward thinking behind the lines midfielders in one sitter in Lundstrom. But again, you're then asking whether the manager likes that formation. But I think you definitely know that Cantwell's probably not going to play wide again unless he decides he's going to hug the touchline, because he was told in the European game, hug the touchline, and he get whipped. So that's clear as day that he's either not going to play wide again, or if he does, he's going to be in the touchline. But I think that they two as number eights would be good, actually, for Rangers to get the two. That would be the way to find the two of them in the same team. The other way to do it would be play two sitters in a box in midfield and have the two of them as number tens. But no, I think that it depends how the manager sees it. If he's adamant on two sitters, you can't go to Celtic Park and play Lawrence as a sitter, I don't think.
No, I don't.
I don't think, because as soon as a team have a good bit of possession, which I don't think Hearts will have more than 40% possession tonight. I'd be surprised if it was more than 40. And I think the manager of Rangers knows that, and that's why he's played them in that position, because he thinks he'll have the majority of the ball.
Thank you, Alan. Enjoy the game tonight. That was Alan from Coatbridge on 01419511025. You can tweet us as well with your thoughts on any of the big talking points, or you can just mention that you're somewhere exotic, like Stuart Stevenson, who's on Facebook, just wants to tell everyone he's listening from Cape Verde. Very nice. I must say, at this time of year. Right, we are not too far away from kickoff at Celtic Park. Let's go back there and get a recap of the teams and a flavour of anything else that we need to know from Roger Hannah.
Yeah, three changes to the Celtic team from that 3-1-1 over St Johnstone at Perth on Sunday. Gordon, Timoke, Iwata, Mikey Johnson and Oh Hyung-ju are in for David Turnbull, Yang Hyun-jun and Kyogo Furuhashi. It's Iwata's first start for Celtic since the Scottish Cup final win over Inverness Cali Thistle at Hampden last June. It's Mikey Johnson's first start since a cup win over Raith Rovers here back in February 2022. So Celtic have Joe Hart in goal. It's the back four: Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. Midfield: Timoko Iwata, Callum McGregor the skipper and Matt O'Reilly. And up top: Michael Johnson, Oh Hyung-ju and Lewis Palmer. On the bench: Bain, Phillips and Kyogo, Turnbull, Holm and Tilio, Bernardo, Forrest and Ralston. Two changes for Hibernian from the side that beat Aberdeen 2-0 at Easter Road on Sunday. Lewis Miller is back from suspension to replace 16-year-old Rory Whittaker at right back, and Eli Ewan, who scored two against Celtic at Easter Road in May but was sent off on his last visit here in March, comes in for weekend goal scorer Dylan Venter. Nick Montgomery's first selection at Celtic Park, David Marshall in goal. It's a back four: Lewis Miller, Will Fish, Rocky Bashiri and Lewis Stevenson. Midfield: Josh Campbell, Dylan Levitt, Joe Newell and Jair Tavares, and up top Eli Ewan with Martin Boyle, who makes his 300th appearance for Hibs tonight. On the bench: Wallacott, Whittaker and Hanlon, Venter, Jago and Doidge, Harbottle, Landers and Molotnikov. The referee is John Beaton, the VAR is Gavin Duncan. Hibs' last win here, Gordon, back in January 2010. Danny Galbraith, the scorer of a stoppage time winner. Josh Thompson, Zeng Zee and Morten Rasmussen were all involved for Celtic that night. It was two former Celtic central defenders in the dugouts, Tony Mowbray and John Hughes. This is Hibs' 18th journey back along the M8 since then. They've yet to record a victory. I'm just worried who recorded that photograph of me in the live stream. When I look into the studio, it's like an advert for a L'Oreal shampoo commercial. It's because you're worth it, boys.
Oh, my word. You can take the man out of Sun newspaper. You can't take the Sun newspaper out of the man. We've got him in midweek duty and everything tonight out at a game. Roger Hanna, quickly, you two, any more of the last five Aussies to play for Rangers or Celtic? I can see Shannon's got some good answers in here. You've got Craig Moore, Aaron Moy, Tom Rogic,
Jackson Irvin.
Yep.
Oh, good one. Kevin Muscat.
Yep. Okay, we'll get the rest and we'll go back to Tynecastle next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, it's the final stretch, the home stretch. Here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard tonight, we've given you the build-up to the game at Celtic Park. That one is getting underway, so I'll let you know if anything happens early on. We've got a bit of time left. Tynecastle doesn't kick off Hearts Rangers until 8 o'clock. Charlie Mulgrew and Cammy Bell are very excited about the full-time teaser, though. We're asking them for the last five Australians to play for each Rangers and Celtic. You've got Moy, Irvin and Rogic on one side, Muscat and Moore on the other.
Who've you got?
No, I'm thinking, who was the right back that Rangers signed that was under Alex McLeish era for Dundee?
No, I don't think that's the one you're looking for. Right, okay, I need to give you clues on some. One of the Rangers ones, the only reason you're not getting him is because he's Australian by football nationality, as in he plays for Australia, but he's Scottish. Like Martin Boyle, as an example. No, and you know, you undoubtedly know this guy for sure.
How long ago are we talking?
No, it's recent. He still plays. He's still playing. Plays for Australia.
Still plays for Australia.
Come on, there's only Martin Boyle and really one other. Who's the other Scotsman that plays for Australia?
Jason Cummins.
Jason Cummins.
Oh my God.
So here we go. There we go. Okay, and
yeah, that's a good one.
What if I told you that one of the Celtic ones was still there? Currently
at Celtic.
We spoke about him earlier. Don't like that silence. That worries me, I must admit.
Charlie. Wow. Who did we speak about?
You're having flashbacks to last week when you couldn't get the answer that was right in front of
you. Listen, you stitched me up because the next
This is not as obvious as that one, but he's there. He's involved, sort of, tonight, and we spoke about him earlier as a result of that. Someone even phoned in to ask about him.
All right. what's he called? The boy that he said about playing at Motherwell?
Yes.
Yes.
What's his name?
Timo.
Is it?
Telio.
Marco Telio. No, my team, is it?
Right, okay, you've got one more former Celtic player. Matthew gives you a great clue on Twitter. He says, oh, it was that boy who came about, it was an 18 month loan about 3 or 4 Januaries ago and did his knee ligaments. That's pretty much him in a nutshell. The Celtic one, the two Rangers ones are really tough, I must admit. I would try and get that Celtic one.
Going back a while with the Rangers ones. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Okay.
Very difficult indeed, right? I don't think we've got anything in the early stages from Celtic Park. It's like there are certain cliches that you just can't word them any other way, and it almost can't get away from them. See, when you look at Celtic at the weekend as an example, Charlie, does a lot of it hinge on if they score early or if they don't? because actually the very first part of the game they did look quite sharp, and Kyogo had that one flashed over the bar. Mm-hmm. There was another chance that I can't quite remember, but it's then once that initial period passes, that's when it can start to get a bit more difficult. There's a lot of the tone set in Celtic games now if they score early.
I think that is the case.
I think it's always they've scored. Celtic are scored up right on cue. So there we go.
There you go. Aye, that's that forces teams that are willing to sit in to have to come out and have to change their game plan, and all of a sudden they get stressed and think, oh no, this wasn't the plan. And Celtic can relax a bit and continue to play their game, and that's how they end up getting more goals. The longer it goes, having played for Celtic and having played against them, the longer it goes, and Rangers for that matter, the longer it goes 0-0, Cam, you'll know this.
Yep.
You grow in belief, and if you can get any half time 0-0, there's all of a sudden gone, right, we can regroup here and we can go to the second half and try and hold on. But if they get that goal, you go, oh no, we're going to have to have a bit of possession, which probably I've not really seen many teams at Celtic Park and Ibrox are playing against Celtic that have a plan with possession. So I think that
while I'm on a roll, the other cliche would be, oh, if you're going to play Celtic, don't concede from a set piece. It's a corner and Carter Vickers meets it and scores. Let's go to Tynecastle and get a quick recap of the teams there.
Yeah, two changes for Hearts coming into this one. Oda and Boyce drop out. In come Nathaniel Atkinson, who's had a pretty long layout to Gala in as well. So Xander Clark starts in goal. The back three, Stephen Kingsley, Frankie Kent and Kai Rolls, the wing-backs, Nathaniel Atkinson and Alex Cochrane, the three in midfield, George Grant, Benny Beningame and Calum Neuenhoff. Kisuke Tagawa is joined up top by Lauren Shanklin. Some big names on the bench as well. Hearts will be delighted to see Craig Gordon back after that double leg break last Christmas Eve. Halkett is back in there, and Barry Mackay as well. For Rangers, two changes. Barisic out the squad altogether. Cyril Dessers drops out of the starting lineup. In comes Ridvan Yilmaz and Danilo. So Jack Butland in goal for them. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Leon Balogun and Ridvan Yilmaz. The two holding midfielders, John Lundstrom and Tom Lawrence, who will be slightly more advanced. Ross McCausland out on the right, Abdullah Sima on the left, Todd Cantwell in behind Danilo. Hearts looking to make it five league wins on the spin and looking to overcome Rangers under Philip Clement for the first time. He's got a win at Ibrox and a win at Hampden against Hearts. Can he make it three out of three and get a win at Tynecastle? We'll find out. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that should be a cracker. Always one of those fixtures that you do look out for. So we'll see how that transpires. No goals elsewhere to tell you about yet, I don't think. As we said, Celtic 1-0 up. This is one of these things, I've no idea if it's true, because I don't have the same level of obsession. Celtic fans always moan that they don't score from corners often enough. Would that be fair? Is that accurate?
First of all, even they thought about it. Maybe you're right. Aye, maybe you're right. But that's a thing about being Celtic and Rangers. If it's not one thing, it's another. That's these fans just demand it.
Yeah.
That the club are scoring goals for corners, are winning games comfortably, are playing in a style, and that's why they're such good clubs and good clubs to play at, because it keeps the standard
suggestion
high.
That Ohm maybe touched it on its way in. I'm sure he'll try and claim it. This just reminds me, because this is the week, Rangers AGM was this week, right? You know, and a lot's been said about how people stand up and ask some like mad stuff at AGMs. One of my first time I ever went to an AGM to work was Celtic, and someone, I remember it, if this is your chance, ask the board anything about the running of the club, and a guy stood up and said, why does Charlie Mulgrew take corners when he's 6'4"? And I always
seriously
thought, wow, I can't believe this gets asked at the club's AGM.
Because I score them.
Because the manager will be
I scored straight for a corner at Ross County. That must have been before that or there after that. So that's why. I hit the first man 100 times as well.
But I thought, I didn't know you could ask questions like that, because obviously the manager's there. He's on the top table or whatever at the AGM.
That's maybe about finances and all that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he can be about anything, as this week has taught us. So there we go. Right, I think we're nearly done, nearly out of time. Will Rangers win tonight?
Yeah, I think they'll have enough. It's going to be a difficult game and a close game, I do believe, but I think they'll have enough. They need to win tonight.
A yes or no from you?
Yes.
Right, okay. Two more on the three more on the teaser. You've not got the Australian Celtic high profile loan signing Cruciate done, no?
I've got one written down. Matt Mackay?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes, for Rangers. Matt Mackay, superb.
What?
That's a good shout, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Right, the
Celtic one, I've not got a clue.
I think he came from like Man City or something. Meant to be a bit of a wonder kid, and then it never really. You remember?
That's right. Don't know his name. No got a clue.
Daniel
Arzani.
That's Arzani. Right, Arzani.
Yeah. And the last one, I really can't tell you much other than his surname.
Can you remember him?
Not really. I just remember the name. His surname's the same as a beer, if that's any use to you. 2012. In your mad era, probably. 2012, 13. I don't even know if he ever played. No, he did actually.
Did he?
Or did he? I don't know. I can see he's apparently scored in a friendly against Falkirk, according to his Wikipedia.
Same as a beer.
Davy Tennant.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't go Foster's with the Australian link, I must admit.
Somebody
Francesco around. Stella.
Stella. Oh.
Right, we'll leave it there. Celtic are in front. Rangers about to kick off. Big games all across the country. Not to be missed tomorrow. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL will be back. And Callum Gallagher is up next.